We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Get your Rocket Mortgage on, son. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. You can save a bunch of money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. All right, Browns 14-7, about 11 minutes left in Cleveland in the game. And the bottom line is, Carver High, that the Steelers have gotten back into this game because their defense turned it up a notch. Once they got down 14-zip, they've shut down the Browns. And now they've scored. They got into the end zone because of a pass interference, got them to the first and goal, and they scored. Now they have the ball again, but they have to score again to tie this game. But their defense has taken over this game.
As usual, and the defense has been what has driven them the last few weeks. So they've got the ball now. They're backed up in the shadow of their own end zone. Let's see if he can move it. Let's see if this guy can do what we don't think he can, come back and win a football game. I don't know if he can.
Yeah, I don't think he can go 90 yards, to be honest
with you.
There's
still a lot of time left here. There's still plenty of time with 11 minutes.
Oh, that was a beautiful play, though. The guy just dropped it. I mean, they went deep on a bomb. It went right through his hands. Honestly, sometimes I just don't understand. It's like these, these guys making millions, I got to tell you, like, they get passes right in their hands and they drop them. I guess it's a lot harder to catch it than we think on television. But honestly, there are so many guys, like some of these pickoffs. Have you ever seen them? We talk about it all the time. A guy will throw the ball right to the defender, right in his hands from, 10 yards away, and a guy drops the ball.
I don't think the Steelers have too many guys out there tonight making big money. They're kind of at the bottom with all the injuries that they've got going right now.
I mean, unbelievable. It is. I give them no shot to go 90 yards, to be honest with you, with this kid at quarterback. Big Daddy's in here. Rich Salgado from Coastal Advisors, our dear friend, a long time for relevancy, and he's been on the bench a million times over the years. Big Daddy, it's good to see you.
You too, man. It's been too long, man.
So you're on Fox News.
Yep.
And, I mean, you've been doing that for how long now?
Since about 2006.
That's a great gig. Even after your guy's not there anymore.
Yeah, he's not there anymore.
How did you survive that with him leaving? Because that was your end.
That was my guy.
Our boy Bill.
But you know what? I guess if you do the job right and you get asked back on, and I've done a lot of stuff, and I've, there's been change and turnover, but, I'm still there.
So what's the deal with the gig? Like, what do? You go on there every week?
No, I go on periodically. So I've been fortunate enough to, go and be a Super Bowl correspondent.
Right.
So I've done that, and that's a lot of fun,
that's
but also tiresome. But you suck it up.
So what do? They make you go to the Super Bowl and you have to file reports all the
time.
Yeah,
I go and go to parties and interview guys, and it's kind of funny because you see the guys that they're used to seeing you be on TV, radio, and all that.
Right.
But oh my God, Big Daddy, what are you doing? Who gave you a mic?
You know,
like what's so? That's always a lot of fun. So, it's,
but you so it's just so people can. This is a different audience. You've never done this show.
I've never done this show. You're right. This is my first time.
This is the first time on this show, but not on my show. You've been on my show a million times, but this is the first time you've been over to CBS. So people that this is a whole new audience. So they don't understand what you do for a living. So what you do, just so I can explain it to people, is you handle all of the, like, mostly professional football players, but you have NBA and baseball and hockey, a lot of hockey, but you have a lot of professional athletes, and you handle their, in essence, their estate.
Yeah, we do estate
and their
plan.
Insurance.
We do all their insurances. We do career-ending insurance,
right,
life
so like
insurance.
Injury insurance. So, like, if they have a catastrophic injury, you take care of them so they never lose the income.
Income, yeah. So
when you started the company, and it's grown exponentially, it's become huge. Like when you first started, and can you even remember when you got your first couple clients? Because I'm a client. How did you build it so big? How many do you have now? Like 200-300 people that work with you?
No, not that many. You'd be shocked. We have two offices, one in New York City, and now we have one in Boca. We've had one in Boca for two years. My partner down there is Chris Muro, and
I lived in Boca.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I had a place.
And it's we cover a lot of ground, and we have a lot of people that work with us, so it's grown. There's over 30, 40 people, and we get things done. We got the reputation. We do the work, and that's all we do. And, obviously, shows like this and the TV stuff that I do and and so forth, they add to building a business.
But you have, like, the biggest names in sports. That, I mean, honestly, you do. Like, who? There is no one in the NFL, at the very least, or NHL that doesn't know you. Like, you are the face. Like, if you go to an NFL game, a big game, anyone else would go, and they might get a suite ticket or a seat ticket or a media press pass. But you're the guy that's standing literally on the sideline, like right next to Bill Belichick. You're walking around. I mean, you are. You're at Giants games, Jets games, Monday night games, Thursday night games, Super Bowls, playoff games. I'm constantly seeing you pop up on the field at the biggest games of the year.
Everyone always, the joke is, it's like, instead of Big Daddy, it's like, where's Waldo, you know? So, but you know what? You'll laugh. I've taken my game from just being down on the field for pregame and then going upstairs, because after a while, your old age, man, kicks in. The back of the knees give in.
Well, how old are you now?
I'm 54.
So
now.
Am I. We're the same age.
Same age.
But you could be dead. You got to tell that story.
Yeah, I could be. I survived in 2008, an aneurysm.
Right, so the guy had a brain aneurysm, and he's like on death's doorstep, and somehow he survives and lives through it. And they say, where did they save your life? At what hospital?
North Shore LIJ, which is now Northwell Healthcare.
Right, so they saved your life, and then you got back on your feet and turned it around, and now you're still, and your business is booming.
Yeah, still kicking, still, you know, knock on wood.
Now, you do all kinds of works, like in the community, too. Like you do the Big Daddy football camp, which is enormous. A lot of people from around here go to it.
Yep.
I know some of the anchors and Schwartz and others are involved.
Yep, they come down.
A lot of guys do it. A lot of athletes get involved in it. And then you work with Saks Fifth Avenue. I know you do some kind of huge fashion gig with them. You and all your cronies are wearing like high-end expensive suits. I know because I've gone to some of your parties over there.
Yeah, they're pretty good. We do one every year at the Super Bowl.
I've been there. I've been to the Saks Fifth Avenue party on Madison Avenue.
The one on Fifth Avenue.
Whatever. It's the greatest party ever.
We did. We won.
Do you remember that one?
We won Party of the Year that year. It was awesome.
That was such a great party. I think I still drank then, too. I went and got hammered at that party. I think wasn't it like champagne and everything, vodka flowing?
Everything under the roof.
It was flowing at that party.
And we shut it down, and everyone was like, dude, this party's great. Why are you closing it down? I'm like, well, because, we're 6 to 9 or whatever it was.
Right, so what's the deal? You don't do the party anymore?
No, we're not doing it this year in Miami, but I'm working on something else. I will give a hint. I'm supposed to host a party on a yacht.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see how that goes. And, you know, guess what we're bringing back?
What?
The Big Daddy Celebrity Golf Course. Which Scott is there all day. Just
what was the name of the cat? Ohika Castle?
Ohika Castle. Well, we're moving it.
Where are you moving it?
We're moving it to Engineers Country Club, which is in Roslyn. So Long Island still. Beautiful place.
You know where that is, Carver High? You're a Long Island boy.
I do, yes.
Yeah, it's owned by Scott Reckler. He
good
bought
track.
It. Yep. You got to see the changes they made. Everything's beautiful.
Are you an Islander fan?
I'm everything.
He's
you know.
A big Islander. He hosts the ILC podcast. He's Mr. Islander. He's more popular than Bill Torrey.
Well, you want to laugh? Guess who went to Umberto's the other night for dinner? And I was with him. Barry Trotz.
Oh, Barry was over there?
Yeah, Barry's agent is a good friend of mine named Gil Scott.
I know him.
And Gil said to me, I actually saw Gil last year at the Dolphins game, and he's always like, dude, when I get to New York, my client's the head guy there. And he goes,
does he come on your show?
No, they don't let him on my show.
Well, that'll end.
Yeah. Listen, he said to me, he goes, whatever you need from me, just call me. And I'm like,
why don't they let him go on your show?
Well, Lou doesn't let anybody.
Oh, Lou doesn't let. Yeah, that's the one thing. Lou is very, even Weeksy even said that. Weeksy can't even get him on because Lou controls everything.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a Lou thing. Lou
it's
controls
a Lou thing.
Everything.
Yeah.
Players, coach, everything. Lou's in charge of it.
But do you like that or? I mean,
I don't think that in 2019 it's the way to go, but he's been doing it for 30 years. Like
that's his formula, so he doesn't let anybody do anything.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's
not a thing that they hate me, per se.
Oh, what I thought it
was. They don't mind me. No,
everything. Lou blocks it. Yeah, Lou blocks everything.
I mean, all the other guys come on with me, all the broadcasters do. Butch comes on with me, Brendan comes on with me, everybody else comes on with me, but the players...
What about your boy, weren't you good friends with he used to play with them, Seidenberg, he was like a...
Yeah, Dennis...
Didn't he just retire?
He just retired, and he is now working like player development. So in the mornings, he's working with the injured guys and helping them out.
What is your deal? Who do you got going in the NHL now these days?
Well, you know, I got Panarin.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah,
the Panarin bread man.
Yeah, so I'm between, you know, Henrik Lundqvist, Panarin there, Vilarmov on the Isles.
So there's your goalie. He reps him, too.
Yeah, Bo Borowski down in Florida. So it's,
oh, yeah, the goalie.
Yeah, so it's been you know, things are moving.
So do you go down to Boca a lot now because you got the office down there and
yeah,
then go to Panther games?
I'll actually be down there this weekend. So they're playing Saturday night. They're playing the Rangers.
Right.
And then Sunday, my brother Jimmy, who's with the Bills, they play Miami on Sunday.
Oh, and you're going to that game.
Yeah, so I'm
going to
kill two
now,
birds.
Who's going to the game with? Are you going to the game with?
On Saturday night, probably my partner, Chris.
And who are you going to the football game with?
With Chris and a bunch of other people.
So, your brother, Lewis, are you guys friends again? Or
yeah,
how's
yeah,
that
yeah. We're
at?
Friends again, yeah.
We had a little window there, a little reprieve.
Yeah, we had a little breakage, but everything's back.
A little timeout.
Well, you know, my sister, you know, Jade, my sister-in-law went through cancer. She had breast cancer, so.
That's the worst.
So, yeah.
That's what got my mom.
Knock on wood, she beat it. And, you know, one of the things that I did was, I'm like, look, I know this is going to cost and this and this. So I put a fundraiser on for them, and we raised a bunch of money, and they didn't even know. I kind of just did it on that Facebook
on the slide.
Thing. Yeah, and did it as quiet as I could, And I was like, listen, you know, everybody in the world asked me for favors, so now I'm going to turn around and ask everyone. I don't care if it's a nickel, a penny, a dime, a quarter, a dollar.
Right.
If you, all the people on Facebook that asked me for favors, do this, you know, we'll get a pretty, and we ended up raising some good money.
So, and then what happened? How did she deal with it?
She's a trooper, man. She is a trooper, and she got through it, And God bless her soul because, you know, it was a
so
hard
your
time.
Your brother started his own firm. Are you working with him again? Oh, look at this guy. Did you see this pick he just threw? Jesus Christ. I mean, how bad was that pick? I mean, honestly, he just gave the game away. I mean, what you have to see this to believe it. What is he looking at? What are you doing, bro? Watch this play. I want to puke. Mason Rudolph, that was the worst interception I've seen in the NFL this year, bar none. I mean, absolutely bar none. This one tops all of them. It's so bad they won't even show it. Watch this. Watch this, Big Daddy. Watch this pick. Look at this guy. Watch him. Here's what I'm going to do here. What I'm going to do is give you the game. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he just chucked it.
I'm just going to give you the game. Here you go. Take it. We don't want it. You got it. Game over.
At least he made the tackle.
What are you doing? look at him. Look at his reaction. Like, he even knows how much of an asshat he is. What kind of a pass was that?
Directly in front of him. I know he was looking at his receiver and trying to lead him, but how do you not see him out of the corner of your eye? He's right in front of you.
How do you?
I don't know what he's looking at. And he didn't even step through either. Like,
oh, my God, dude. You suck so bad. That was the worst play I've ever seen. My God, he just gave the game away. I mean, you are atrocious. That's their problem. They will never win anything because of him. I'm telling you, if they make the playoffs, which I doubt, but if they make the playoffs as a wild card, they'll lose the first game because he's their quarterback. He sucks. He does suck. I'm watching this guy every week. He never does anything. They win games because of their defense. 855-212-4CBS. We're talking to our good friend Rich Salgado, Big Daddy, the legend.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227 to get on the bench. We're talking to Big Daddy. Rich Salgado's here from Coastal Advisors. You got a huge event coming up next week. I'm going to be in Vegas. Here he is throwing another one. The guy dropped at Ward, but that was another bad pass. This guy, they might as well just walk off the field now. He can't throw a completion. He's so bad. Like, I don't know who he's yelling at, but he's terrible. I can't even watch this guy play quarterback. I really can't. He's terrible. Honestly, you know what? The Duck Dynasty guy's better. The third stringer.
Yeah, well, you know, you want to laugh, bring up Duck Dynasty. I'm going hunting with them.
With the guys from Duck Dynasty.
Yeah, I got invited to go down, and I'm going to spend a weekend with those guys.
Where do they live? In, like, Louisiana?
Louisiana, yeah. I got a, I'm not going to say who I'm going with, but we're flying private down, and it's a big deal for 2 days, and... you know, I just told him, I said, listen, don't do like they did in that movie where they threw the guy out in the woods and they're like, we're hunting you, you know?
What are, So what are you going to hunt? Like alligators and stuff?
I don't know, man.
I don't want any part of that.
Yeah, me neither. But I don't know. But like I said, I just hope.
Have you ever gone hunting before?
Never. So this will be a first time. And, you know, first and foremost, it's hard to get fatigues and
right.
and camouflage and 4X. So, you know, right. I went out.
So what is your event next week? I know you're having a big thing at the St. Regis.
Yeah, it's the Orthopedic Foundation Gala. And, you know, I was asked to help with it. And then all of a sudden I became the MC. And, you know, some of the honorees, you are friends with and have a relationship with, which are Kevin Weeks,
right.
obviously NHL Network. Bernard Hopkins, the champ.
Right.
We got Dino from Rails, the big-time chef.
Great chef.
The great chef. And I got one of my business associates, Victor Muro. He's one of the honorees, big financial
guy. How'd you get involved with them? What's that all about?
Through my partner in Boca, you know, we had known some mutual friends, and they said, listen, you need to be with these guys, and we connected.
He just threw another pick. Is this even happening, this guy? What? I mean, honestly.
Well, there is nobody else. Who are you going to play?
Duck Dynasty. Delvin Hodges. Put him in. Honestly, you know, what is going on here, this guy with his passes? Look at how bad his passes are.
Yeah, that's a little bit over the top.
Oh, my God. He's just giving this game away. They're showing him because he's so terrible. They're showing him in super slow-mo so everyone can get a good look at him watching how bad he is. I can't even take it. Please, God, end this game so I can forget about it. What an absolute... It's like having a stomach ache.
Well, I have to say I'm happy for my client and friend John Dorsey because, you know, they've had a rough year there, too.
Is he still running that team?
Yeah, he's still running the team. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now, you know, they were the favorite to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The bettors all loved them.
Well, listen, you know what? It's the Mercedes-Benz. It looks like it, but doesn't mean it runs like one. So.
Yeah, I still don't. If they win this game, they're 4-6. I still don't think they make it.
Well, you know, the old.
They'd have to win out.
They have to win outright, and then some other things have to happen. So.
But you don't think they're going to win out and make the playoffs, do you?
I don't know. I haven't seen the rest of their schedule, so I don't even know who they got
but
on.
But there's just too many teams in front of them. I don't see how it could even happen. Like, I'll tell you exactly who they play the rest of the way. I know they play the Steelers in 2 weeks.
They got the Bills. They lost. They
Steelers.
Beat the Bills play the Steelers.
So they got Steelers tonight, Dolphins, Steelers again, Bengals at Cardinals, Ravens at home, at Bengals to end it. That really isn't that hard.
That's not that hard. The Ravens
and Steelers games on the, you know.
On the road, right?
Well, Steelers on the road, Ravens at home. Mm. But I don't think, you know, they'll have to really, like, right before Christmas, 12-22, they play the Ravens. What do you think of that guy, Lamar Jackson, what he's doing in Baltimore?
He's just tearing it up, man. You know, he's making it difficult on a lot of defensive coordinators.
Now, you run, you do a lot of Jets and Giants. What do you think of the debacle that is those two football teams?
Well, I think on both teams, it's a lack of talent. You know, the horses aren't there. And, you know, as a Giants guy, you're so used to, listen, in my lifetime, what? The Giants have been to the Super Bowl 5 times.
Right.
And lost one. So, you know, you get spoiled. And then as a Jet fan, unfortunately, we haven't been to a Super Bowl since we were born,
right.
You know?
69.
So, what, we were three?
We were four.
Yeah, four. So, it's tough. It's really tough. I mean, the owner to come out for Gates to, you know, say, hey, he's coming back. You know, I'm sure that comes with a lot of...
Are you friends with that guy, Gates?
No, I. You know what? I met him, and I'm not friends with him, but I met him at the owner's meetings last year, so I got a...
Was he nice?
Yeah, I got introduced to him by somebody else, and it was kind of one of those things like, hey, you're going to be in New York, you better make sure you get with Big Daddy. So that was kind of it, but that's it.
Because they're keeping him, allegedly. They're supporting him. Do you think he's done a terrible job here? Or do you think he just is dealing with the hand he's dealt?
He's dealing with the hand he's dealt. I mean, think about it. Jamal Adams is really the real deal there. And then Sam Darnold's a good quarterback. But, you know, listen, Tom Brady could be back there, and he's not going to get anything thrown out. You know, they don't have an offensive line. There's a lot of things going on there.
So. Right. Do you think your boy Pat Shurmur will survive this?
That one, I don't know. I know Pat. Pat's a good coach. Pat's been a good friend of our families because my brother Jimmy comes from that Andy Reid tree. So, you know, wait and see.
What's he doing now? He's coaching in the NFL, isn't he?
Yeah, my brother's with the Bills.
So he's with the Bills. Did you know that? Carver High, his brother, Jim, was at Princeton, and now he's coaching with the Bills.
I remember the name on the staff.
Yeah, yeah. He's he likes it a lot, and, you know, he's a McDermott.
I'm a diehard Bills.
Is he a D-backs coach?
Yeah, he's an assistant, so he works directly with...
Defensive assistant.
Yeah, he's a defensive assistant, so he works with the Leslie Frazier and him are really tight. And so he works with that.
But they got a great secondary.
Oh, they've got, you know, their defense was number one last year. And now, you know, they're like
top five again.
Yeah, top five again. So it's like if they get their offense together, then, you know, listen, they should have beat New England. Philadelphia, that was, they just took it in the chin there.
Yeah,
you know?
They got the ball ran down their throat in that game. And then last week they blew the game against the Browns.
Yeah, they blew that.
That's a game that they have to win. They have to win that game.
Because, you know, going forward, they got Denver and then in Dallas on Thanksgiving Day.
How does he like coaching in the NFL as opposed to when he was the D coordinator at Princeton?
Well, the recruiting. You eliminate the recruiting. You know, you at the NFL, you coach what you're given. At Princeton, you're, what you recruit is what you coach. So two different. So you're home more often. You're not out running around. And at Princeton, the job is harder than if you're at Penn State or Georgia because you've got to find those kids that can get into school.
Because they get the grades.
The grades, yeah.
And they don't get full rides.
They don't get full rides. It's all a lot of the kids that go there, the parents can afford it. It's funny. And then it's a, what do you call it, financial aid kind of deal. But
so my buddy is a, he's the director of basketball operations there. Last year he was the like lowest assistant on the staff, in the basketball staff.
Yeah.
He played here at Bergen Catholic and then went to University of New England, came back, coached at Princeton as an assistant. He was the lowest guy. He was like film coordinator. Yeah. And after 1 year, he impressed him so much, they made him the director of basketball ops. He's now running the basketball operations at Princeton. They've started out slow. I think they're 0-3 or something like that. But he's there, so he's dealing with it now at Princeton. Yeah. But it's a great place.
It's a great place. My brother misses it. I know that. And, you know, but and it's great for your when you have kids too, because the schooling and everything in that area is incredible. But listen, the NFL is the NFL. So
how long has he been with the Bills now?
This is year three for him,
and he likes it.
And you know, God willing, something happens, shakes, and he moves on and moves to a better, you know, a title. We joke around. I, you know, the Rutgers job is open, right?
Right.
So it's kind of funny. I keep teasing him. I'm like, you know, Greg Schiano is going to get that gig back. And then he's going to be calling you. And he's like, well, you know, da, 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 this and that. It's when you're at that level, you try to stay at that level. Unless Alabama or LSU says, hey, be our DC, and you're making $1.5 million a year.
Right.
Because that's what those guys
are
getting.
Why, is he tight with Schiano?
There's a relationship there. And, you know, it's kind of through myself and someone else. And you know, I still talk to Greg and I did all the insurance for the players when Greg was there. You know, they had a lot of guys that were coming out, you know, first rounders.
Right. So what's the deal? Is he going to close that deal and get that job?
I hope so. You know, from what I hear, it's close. And I think, you know, it's kind of funny. Someone put it like this to me. You know, there's an AD there now.
Right.
But do you hear about the AD in Alabama or LSU? Never hear about it.
No.
You hear about the head football coach. I think that's the mentality. If Rutgers wants a guy like Greg, that's what I think you're gonna have. It's gonna end up happening, from what I hear. Like, I don't know the AD or anything, but what I've been told is, when Greg was here, he had Tim Pernetti, and he was a great AD, Jersey guy, and got it.
I knew him.
Well, yeah. So, and Greg was the same thing, Jersey guy, got it. And look at the teams that they built whenever they were down in the dumps. All of a sudden, they were going to bowl games, and guys are getting drafted in rounds 1-3. So I think if you're going to get a guy like Greg to come back, I think you're going to have to give him
what he wants and full control. You're right.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, here we go. We got the champ on the phone. Bernard Hopkins is joining us now, the legend. How you doing, B-Hop?
Great, man. I'm doing great, but you know, I'm recovering, so my voice sounds kind of cracky, man. I've been in China for about 8 days.
You just got back, yeah.
What were you doing over there?
I just flew back 2 days. Well, first it was the WBA convention, World Boxing Association convention. I was invited by the president there, and also while I was there, I had a few meetings about my brand, about the executioner brand, about the alien brand that I also represented that and was champion in my 40s. And so there's a lot in the B-Hop lifestyle to be able to do it for a long time. So I was out there for business personally with myself and my brand, and also to represent the WBA, who you know, invited me as a special guest to the convention that they have every year at different parts of the world, because it could be China, which it was 2 weeks ago, and then it can be, you know, another place in the world next year. So every year they travel around the world to have a boxing convention that lasts about 10 days.
So I'm going to Wilder Ortiz 2 next week at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Vegas. I saw that first fight as well. What do you think of those two going at it?
I like Wilder. I think it's going to be even more his victory early. I think that he just happened to have a style that most fighters in that division cannot deal with. He's sort of unorthodox because it looks like he's all over the place. But it actually works for him. For me, it would never have worked. But for him, it seems to be something that an advantage than disadvantage. And I like Wilder. I like Wilder about 6 or 7 round TKO.
Do you think he'll, when he fights Fury again, because I was at that fight at Staples in L.A., and we all saw what happened in the 12th round when Wilder knocked him down, and somehow, by the grace of God, he woke up because he was out cold, and then all of a sudden he popped up and finished the fight and got a draw because he had really dominated, I think, about 8 or 10 of those rounds. And the reason it was a draw because Wilder knocked him down twice, once in the money round in the 12th. You can't take a belt away from a champ that knocks a guy down twice and heavily knocked him out. But they're going to fight again, allegedly, and I think Wilder will finish him this time, no questions asked. I'm not a buyer in Fury, this whole act of this lineal champ nonsense. He's not in the kind of cut shape, and he just looks like a fat dude to me fighting. He does not look like Wilder's a chiseled monster.
Well, I'll tell you what, we coming up on Christmas in another month. I think it's just a Christmas present gift for Wilder to end the year 2019 going into 2020 with some momentum. So just look at it like that as a momentum fight going into the next year, looking for bigger and better things.
What do you think of these guys like Fury and others that are, you know, talking about even, you know, fighting these MMA guys? Fury says he'll fight Stipe Miocic. We've heard this guy, Masvidal. Who does he want to fight again? Masvidal wants to fight Canelo. Canelo Alvarez will kill that guy dead. They'll carry him out in a body bag. I mean, honestly, what is going on with these MMA guys? Now, listen, these boxers don't want any part of that octagon. They don't want to go in there and get involved in all that Muay Thai stuff. But in boxing, you know as well as I do, executioner, that you're dealing with, it's a dangerous proposition. They walk in there against Canelo Alvarez, will kill that guy, Masvidal. And I think Stipe Miocic, he'll be on a gurney by the time Fury's done with him.
Yeah, well, we promote Canelo at Golden Boy Promotion in L.A., as you probably already know.
Right.
Been partners in ownership with Oscar for the last 20 years. We've been rocking and rolling. We had a couple of bumps, but we recovered. Let me tell you about, that scenario. Because if you look at the MMA, it's just like taking an NFL player, asking him to play basketball in the NBA. And it's going to be very awkward and uncomfortable. But if you go in that arena where you're not accustomed to, you're going to feel uncomfortable. So I tell everyone, because I get asked this all the time, an MMA guy in a boxing arena might do well, but he won't do great. And I don't mean well as make a career out of himself. Okay, he lasts a couple of rounds, but that's it. It's two different way of attack and sport amongst each other. When you look at a boxer, is more of a technique, is more of a, you know, stand-up type of combat.
Right.
MMA is a whole new different animal. We cannot survive in their era of what they do. And they will not survive in our era of what we do. So to me, it's a spectacle. And anyone out there who just happened to not know what spectacle means, it means a show.
Right.
So when you talk about MMA and boxing and putting these guys together, do a spectacle brings in big money? Well, Floyd Mayweather, and of course, you know who?
Connor.
So when you talk about a spectacle, a show, then great, fine. I want to see a spectacle. Great. But if you want to see a boxing match, I advise you, and I think I got a lot of credibility to say, 30 years of professional boxing.
Right.
Going in the Hall of Fame in June, upstate New York. Already in the Hall of Fame in Atlantic City. Already in the Hall of Fame in Vegas. I will tell you to don't think it's going to be something that is going to take off, because it's two different sports.
So what are you doing? You're involved with the event with Big Daddy at the St. Regis next week. Are you excited?
Very, very excited. First of all, I've been knowing Big Daddy for over 15 years. And anybody in the sports world, football, of course, but boxing, from my end, might not have met him personally, but they heard of him through me. So the respect that he's given me for years, and also honored me at St. Regis in New York City, in the Lower Manhattan. It's great, man, that I'm getting, I'm getting honored for something that I'm passionate about, and that is, redemption, changing your life, making something out of life that the world of sports will remember for as time long, as time lasts on the earth. So to be honored for the things that I've done and things I've done for people is very special, man. And that's why, as soon as I see my text and I'm looking at it, seeing this text on the phone, I said, let me call, even though I'm on my back right now.
He's dragging.
I can tell. Listen.
And this in bed after flying.
I know.
Basically all day,
That's a long flight.
Well, listen, B-Hop, I love you, man. Thanks for calling in and checking in with us. It's been a minute. I haven't seen you in a while. I love you. It's great catching up, and good luck next Thursday. You deserve it. I've always been a great friend and fan of yours. Keep doing your thing, and say hi to Oscar for me.
I will, and I will let everybody know I didn't get punched in the throat the way I'm sounding like this. I got punched in the throat.
All right, B-Hop, be cool, man.
See you next week, brother.
All right, there he is. The executioner, Bernard Hopkins. He's one of the coolest dudes,
Let me tell you something about him. I've never met anybody more disciplined than him, and he still leads. I say it's called the jailhouse routine.
Right.
Because remember, he went away. But he's so strict in, let me run at 6 a.m., let me breakfast here. And he's like, he's got a game plan.
He's got the regimen.
Yeah, and he's so to it that, I had to sit there and watch. And we've had chats before. We've been out at, Artie's house in the Hamptons. And we'll sit there and we'll he'll like, Big Daddy, what are you doing with all that bacon?
Does that guy still have a piece of the Nets?
No, Artie's done. Yeah,
he sold out.
Yeah, he's done. But he's,
and then that Russian guy sold that team.
Yeah, sold it to somebody else, and they're like a mess over there.
The Japanese guy or something owns it now. What's his name? So, is that his name? Sai? I think that's it. The new owner of the Nets. So that's cool. And then Weeksy is also being honored. Is he going to call tonight?
Yeah, well, we'll talk hockey.
So he's on NHL Network right now?
Yeah, he's on right now.
Carver High, what happened? They had a melee.
Miles Garrett ripped off Mason Rudolph's helmet and whacked him over the head with it. Just a full-on brawl happened there at the end of that.
Why did he hit him in the head with a helmet?
Yeah, he ripped his helmet off his head, and they were dragging him away, and he whacked him over the top of the head.
So that can't be good.
It ain't going to be good for him, no.
He's going to get suspended for that.
Oh, yeah.
He assaulted another player?
I got the video in here.
All right, I got to see that. We're talking to Big Daddy on the bench tonight in studio, our special guest, 855-212-4227. I ate a gigantic pizza that he brought me in here tonight, styling.